We are activating your unique self-discovery one show at a time. The Orchard of Wisdom Self-Discovery Podcast are at your fingertips, just waiting to inspire and invite you in discovering just how awesome you really are and how to navigate through life in joy, enrichment, personal abundance, in mind, body, spirit, heart, and soul. All the people we bring you are here to serve you on your journey of life. Do enjoy our next show. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Choose Positive Living right here on selfdiscoverymedia.com. I'm your host, Sarah Troy, and my guest today is Dr. Alan Leiker. He has this wonderful attitude of the secrets of living a fantastic life, and that's also the name of his podcast. He's also an author, but he is a doctor, and he has been a cosmetic surgeon for a very, very long time. And he also discovered that he had ALS. So he's really kind of gone the gamut. He still worked 30 years after that with and discovered he had chronic Lyme disease, which actually is underlying of many, many things that people don't know about. But we're going to be talking about today, quite honestly, joy. How do you live a fantastic life? How do we change the dialogue from really, quite honestly, the violin of doom and gloom and the next crisis that's about to hit us to one of joy and being able to live a fantastic life in gratitude, appreciation, love, and everything else. So with his wonderful spectrum of everything that he's done and everything that he is and now an author, book, The Secrets to Living a Fantastic Life. Let's pick his brain and see if we can see how we can live a fantastic life, because it is all about choice, isn't it, Alan?
Yes, it absolutely is. People have a choice when they wake up in the morning to see the clouds in the sky, or if they see the sun in the sky, which is there. And that choice is people have to make it, and they have to make it daily. They have to make it minute by minute, and they have to change their attitude towards life in order to see the sunny side of life.
The choice. I mean, in abstaining from a choice is a choice, isn't it? And we can choose to see the cup half empty, or we could look at it. Okay, it's half full of water and it's half full of air. It's not empty.
Absolutely. And, you know, I would always think a person should think of it as half full rather than half empty. Mm-hmm. That's always a better way of looking at things, because you have just to add a little bit more to make it full.
Right. So if it is half empty, what are you going to do to fill it up? Right.
Yes, so, for sure. For sure. And the key is making that cup full and making it full to the point that it is brimming. Yes. And you're just bounding with that fullness that's there.
And your cup runneth over and it becomes intoxicating for the other people around you, right? An invitation.
It's an invitation, and it should be an invitation. I think it was David Goggins that said, the only thing more infectious than a bad attitude is a good attitude. So why not have a good attitude?
We certainly had our fill of the bad attitudes. And I think at this set point, we're saturated, you know, and it's like, we just can't take anymore. And I mean, for people, it is time to switch off everything that's doom and gloom at you. And yes, we do need to pay attention to what's going on in the world. And yes, we do need to be a part of the solution, not the problem. But if we are all walking around with a heavy gut and a heavy heart, what solution can you be? So sometimes, you know, we have to heal ourselves first before we can be a solution to anyone else.
Yeah, you know, this thing that we had, this 2 years of COVID, and every day it sounded like the sky was falling. And every day the news began with the numbers that were going on and how atrocious things were. Now we're getting into the news of the war in the Ukraine. And we're getting into this hyperinflationary period we're in. And so again, bad news. But you know, in the last 100 years, we've been through all of this before. We've been through all of it. And it's like waves on the ocean.
Yes.
That we have seen it before. We've dealt with it. We've survived it. And many people have thrived in it.
I mean, I'm sure as a podcaster, you've interviewed some people that are truly extraordinary. And, you know, I've been doing this 10 years and it still blows my mind with some things that have happened to people that never should happen to a human being. But they made a choice to go through the healing process, discover their courage, discover their strength, discover their abilities, step into self-love, step into love of meaningful purpose, and then be there to serve others on their own recovery. These are truly the inspirational people that are the invitational people. And every time I interview someone like that, it just warms my heart, because I think it shows people that no matter where you're at, and you got diagnosed with ALS, and you were a surgeon who's doing extremely well in life. And it's like, you know, that little cosmic 2x4, you're obviously going to have a reaction at the time, because it's a pretty challenging disease. But again, your attitudes towards it and what you're going to do with it is really where the challenge lies, isn't it?
Well, it's not what happens to you. It's what you do with what happens.
Yes, and it happens for you, right?
Exactly. And if you just become a victim, you're going to be victimized.
Yes.
But if you decide to become a victor, you're going to have a chance to beat the odds and come out the other side. Mm-hmm. So the mentality you have of being a victim versus a victor is very important.
If you get something that is, you know, a disease that isn't curable, but it's there and you have to learn how to manage it, there are going to be good days and there are going to be bad days. I have one of those type of diseases I'll have for the rest of my life, but I decided to partner with it. It is a partnership. And some days its voice is louder than I'd like it to be. And I have to listen. Otherwise, I'm going to get flattened. And it's okay. I respect your voice today. I'm going to listen and do what you need me to do. And other days, it's there for me. And I think if we look at it, instead of it's something out to get you, that it's just something that you are traveling with, you learn to have a balance. And really, it's all about that balance, isn't it?
It is. And you have to learn to balance it that much better. Mm. You know, you have to take care of yourself. You have to sleep well. You have to eat well. You have to do those things that are so important for you. And yes, sometimes that means that if you have a full schedule, you say, okay, this last call of the day, I just can't take. It's just too much today. Or sometimes it means, you know, I need to book some time off regularly to make sure that I stay functioning at a healthy level. But that's all part and parcel of being a person with a disease that is a chronic disease. You know, if you overdo it one way or the other, your body's going to let you know it.
Oh boy, yes. In no uncertain terms. So this is why I say it's best to have that partnership where you learn to listen to each other, you know, that your chronic disease, yourself. And I find that if you do that, instead of looking at it as your enemy, why have I got this? It's out to get me. Instead, it's just the same, that baggage that you carry around. You manage it and you can stay on the optimistic side of life. Yes, you have limitations. There's certain things you cannot do. Well, instead of wallowing what you can't do, look at what you can do or what you are doing now that you never thought you could do.
Yeah, it's interesting how people perceive their disabilities. Just before I got on this call, I was speaking to a man in his middle ages with autism. Mm-hmm. Now, he wasn't diagnosed until about 8 months ago. So he's now had to learn to deal with this and learn to deal. But the good news is he knows his diagnosis. He knows what his limitations are. Yep. So now he has a way to build things around his limitations and is now able to do things in a way that he's never been able to do. So that is a positive outcome of this. And we've been talking about how we can help him through my show as well and help other people in the autistic community. That is a real good thing. Another wonderful lady I've had on my show is the name of Miss Gardner, who is a lady that has lost the ability to walk. So she's confined to a wheelchair. Now, she calls her wheelchair her enabler, and it has done nothing to stop her and slow her down. She still does everything in her life and does it with such fervor and with passion along the way. So, you know, yes, people have disabilities. Yes, people have things in their life that get in the way. I call them road bumps. Mm-hmm. And the question, if you let those road bumps become mountains, if you don't let them become mountains, they're just speed bumps that slow you down a little bit on that pathway to life.
We're talking about autism. I've had many, many autistic people or parents of, or, you know, people, young people. And I always look at autistic people as a gift, because quite honestly, they shut out kind of a lot of the world where we don't need to go in. And they're very, very focused, incredibly creative. And, you know, I've interviewed those that have become authors, illustrators, musicians, and even have discovered later in life that they have the autism. And it just became a relief to actually explain why they couldn't do the things that other people could do, but that didn't make them any less than. And, you know, if we could look to maybe the gift we're getting out of something, rather than looking at it as a stigma or a barrier. You know, society likes everything to be kind of perfect and set up to societal standards. But as far as I'm concerned, those standards are so dysfunctional. They're the reason why I think we have so much chaos in the world, because nobody can live up to those illusions or delusionment.
Oh, for sure. You know, during COVID, a lot of people had loved ones that passed away. Mm-hmm. And people look at that and they're grieving that now. And the thing is, I think the key to grieving it is to realize the wonderful times that you had with that person that passed away, mm-hmm. the wonderful things that went on in your life with that person that passed away. That truly is magical. Now, I want you to think for a moment, if you've never had that person in your life ever, so wouldn't that even be a more of a travesty than them passing away now? So that is the coin you have to flip in your mind. And that is the switch you have to flip in your mind to make that, to understand this process that much better. And if you do that much better, you will grow from that experience rather than be harmed by that experience.
Embrace the beacon of light they were in your life. And every time you think of them, that light comes alive. And they will always be with you. If they are in your thoughts and they're in your heart, they have never left you. It is only the body that has gone.
Now think of them as a lighthouse in your life. And how that lighthouse was so important in bringing sailors back to the shore. And that's what this person did for you. They helped to fill in a very important part of your life. And that important part of your life was really made that much better.
Yes. Again, it goes, you know, attitude. We can choose a positive attitude or a negative one. And, you know, not to say that you won't have negative thoughts when you're first hit with news or you're first hit with something. There's going to be a reaction to it. And one needs to sometimes spend the anger or spend the frustration, you know, don't hold it in, let it out. But we have to then take that pause and take that breath and change our attitude around it and ask ourselves, is there anything I can do about it? How can I empower myself or other people? What can I do with this? And look upon it as kind of a challenge to be faced, because we don't go through life without something hitting us. And if every time something hit us, we fell down and refused to get back up, what kind of life would that be?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I've always found life, you have to be in life like a roly-poly. That something knocks you down, you got to get up again.
Yes.
And that is the attitude you have to bring to life with all this. Now, for people who haven't heard of a roly-poly, it's a big balloon that has this innate ability to bounce back up every time it's knocked down.
A roly-poly in England is a pudding.
So- Exactly. So that's why I had to explain it, because we're dealing with different people on different sides of the Atlantic.
Right. You know, you see these things at car lots, etc., and they're, you know, they're kind of these balloon things, and they're, you know, they've got their arms flapping and they're going this way and that, and one moment they look like they're completely down and then they come back up again. You know, sometimes we've just kind of got to be that. You know, it's like, oh gosh, another thing. Okay, you know, brush myself off, dust myself off, and get back up again. And come on, what's next? I can face it. I mean, I think you can do that again. And going back to, if you were looking after yourself, eating well, sleeping well, not letting anxiety gnaw at you, chew at you, you know, like little mice with the wires. You know, pay attention. Really nurture yourself, because when you nurture yourself, you really can face just about anything.
Absolutely. And I think that starts with a mindset and a positivity that you need to have. I think it all starts with that. And it goes to tenacity, because with that tenacity, you're able to overcome anything, no matter what is thrown at you.
Mm-hmm. You know, you were a cosmic surgeon, right?
Yes, I was. And it was a field that was new when I got into it. In fact, it had just started. And so there were a lot of things that were just coming on board. You know, there was Botox. There was these other materials called fillers that all started just as I was graduating from my dermatology schools. So I was amongst the first to adapt those and use those in my practice. And humbly, I was able to further those into the ways that they are used now.
You know, some people will look at it, it's just like, oh, just accept the way you are. You know, God made you like that. And it's like, if we don't feel confident or quite right within ourselves, I mean, a woman wears makeup. We, you know, we do our hair, you know, men like to groom themselves as well. So if we feel that we need a little help to give us, to maybe match the inside, you know, the inside is feeling beautiful, but the outside doesn't quite kind of match. We need to not have any guilt on that. If we feel that we just need a little filler, a little Botox, or a little something. And because, you know, with dermatology, I had eczema through my life. And so sometimes my skin would not look good. And it always made you feel self-conscious. And it's and because quite honestly, we are again that society, what we see, we judge first, instead of looking, well, you know, deeper.
Let me take it back to an example that's so common in dermatology. There's so many teenagers that are ravaged by acne.
Yes.
That acne really hurts their self-confidence.
Yeah.
It hurts the way that they are in the world. They feel like they're lepers. Mm-hmm. So it's very important that for them to get that under control. Fortunately, with the proper care and management, that children do not need to be harmed by this. So it's the same thing with all these things. These are become decisions. They become ways of looking at things. And I don't think a person should evaluate and say it's a wrong thing to do anything. I think people should decide on their own level whether it's necessary for them.
But it has to be your own personal choice. You know, I think anytime where you feel society is shaming you and you've got to do it because nobody else will accept you is the wrong way to go about it. But when you're doing it for your own choice because you know how you want to feel, you're doing it for you, then you are truly honoring yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the important thing, is that you have to do what's right for you. Mm-hmm. You know, if you don't like your hair color, well, you don't have to live with the hair color that you have. If you don't like the way things are going, you don't have to do things. So the answer is you have a choice. I mean, you have a choice to do the way, you know, if you want to wear a red dress and have a beautiful, you know, the answer is that's your own prerogative.
Right. And, you know, if you feel confident in yourself, you can wear anything and carry it off, right? It all is that inner confidence. And sometimes the exterior things just help the inner confidence be so much stronger.
Absolutely. I think that's very important to that the inner confidence is what drives the outer confidence. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting. Your outer confidence often drives the inner confidence as well.
Mm-hmm. True. Yes, you look at yourself in the mirror, I feel great, I feel, and then it just boosts everything, right? Yes.
Exactly. So if you look good, you also feel good. So that's the other thing about the point as a cosmetic dermatologist. I was very proud to do what I did, mm-hmm. is that I was able to help people just as much as anybody in the medical profession. Yes. I was able to help people with their self-esteem, which is the most important part of a person's life.
That self-esteem equates to our self-value, to our confidence, to the way we perceive ourselves and the way we present ourselves to the world. So it's a domino effect that really needs to be addressed. We want to be confident inside and out. And, you know, when you see somebody that is really confident, their aura precedes them when they walk into a room. You see them and you know that they are very comfortable in who they are, why they are, what they are. And it's before they even open their mouth, you know, you feel them and you want to be around them. And we want to build that confidence up in people exteriorly and internally.
Absolutely. And, you know, although I have left the cosmetic field, people always ask me for advice, mm-hmm. in that realm. So that shows me how important it is to people. And it shows me how important it is for them to function on that level as well.
Yes. You know, we see, you know, on that topic, we see, you know, women getting older. And like 5 years ago, I just decided to let my gray hair go. You know, it's no more coloring, just be what I'm meant to be. And then 4.5 years ago, you know, somebody said to me, you know, Sarah, why don't you do videos instead of just the audio platform? And my immediate thought was, who wants to see this old bag on camera? And then a voice from the back of my head said, it's not about you, it's about your content. But, you know, the forefront was, you know, I'm older, gray-haired woman, you know, and we perceive that everything should be the beautiful, you know, spunky person. And I think this is something that we are learning to get away from, is that it's not all about youth. You know, we are looking today even more so at people 50, 60, 70s, 80s. And the oldest I've interviewed is 91, and she has her own TV show and she's spunky as hell. You know, it's, if we've still got something to give, the age shouldn't matter.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think it's important to realize that as you get older, certain things are not as good as they used to be. But, you know, for the most part, age is a number.
It is.
That is what people have to realize in all this, that age is something that can be overcome by attitude. And that is another thing that is important to understand in all this.
I think it's also a privilege. You know, we see so many people going early in life. And I think, you know, with each birthday, it is, you know, we've accomplished another year and we've still got more to give. And I live with a lady who's about to be 89 next week. And she still drives. I mean, she chased a dog down the road the other day because it came off its leash. And she's as spunky as hell. And yeah, a few things are going, like short-term memory and things like that. But she's an inspiration to so many people because of her zest for life. And I think, again, going back to that attitude, how are you looking at life? Because how you look at life is how life is going to treat you.
Absolutely. And I think that's true of a lot of people. Mm. I think that they have to decide where they are with life and live life on their terms, yes. Not on other people's terms. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But we have to establish what our terms are. And I think that is part of the, you know, the wonders and the beauty of self-discovery at any age. You know, and in our book of life, each chapter is going to have different content in it. And we have to decide in this particular chapter, who am I? What am I? What's my contribution? And it's got to be something we need to discover about ourselves. Okay, I can't do what I did in my last chapter. So what can I do in this chapter? Where can I do it? But never lose the wonderment of discovery. Because I think if we lose that art of discovery, I think we lose a great deal of ourselves.
You know, when you go through something like I have, and you've been told you have 6 months to live, you better get your affairs in order, you're truly amazed how every day is something that you're living on borrowed time. Mm-hmm. And it's something that you're so glad to be alive each day that it's a very important thing. So I think wonderment is something that is there, the beauty that's there. And you should truly grasp everything you can to make it beautiful.
Whether you're given a period of time, which you have proven wrong, or whether we just don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And certainly COVID was one of those things that was a wake-up call for that. We're not promised tomorrow. It is what you do today. What you do today that counts. And if we learn to be present and we look after today, our tomorrows are going to start on a very good footing, no matter what happens.
Yes, it's true. And, you know, we cannot do anything about the past. It's gone.
Yes.
It's done. We do not have the future promised for us. We do not have that in our grasp for the future. All we can live for is today. Mm-hmm. So you better live the best day you possibly can.
And that will see the wonders of tomorrow. You know, I have a sister who's 80 and a half. She's just had a massive operation in England. And it was a 60-40 against her. But this is a woman who's had various cancers, a sticky bladder, leukemia. I mean, the list goes on. I can't even describe the words that she has. And she has come through everything where everybody said, oh, no, she won't survive that. She won't survive that. And she not only has survived that, you know, she's thrived that. And I think, again, that is that it goes a lot down to, are you the fighter? You know, are you the person that's going to grab today and appreciate every day and say, I want to live. I want to live. I've still got more to do. And I think that is a huge healing modality. Or, and if you are living with something, that will certainly help you live with it and it not take you.
Absolutely. And you know, what you got to do when you have a serious disease, you need to decide your terms with it and how you fight it and things like that. And if that disease is so overwhelming, it's going to take it. You still need to live every day to the maximum.
Yeah. Don't give in and don't give up, right? There are the days where you just need to have a damn good cry. You know, your body's feeling that way. It's overwrought. Have a damn good cry. Curl up in the fetal position and you know, let the loving world hug you. And then tomorrow go, okay, all right, I've had my cry. I'm back at it.
Yeah, for sure. That's the way it should be. And, you know, life is like that. You know, you're going to have good days and bad days.
Yeah.
Fine. Get over the bad days and get on to the good days.
Mm-hmm. We can all have a fantastic life. You know, as I said, I'm sure you have as well with, you know, people that I've interviewed where, again, I look at things that have happened to them that never should happen to a human being. And I look what they're doing and who they are today. It was their choice to go through that journey, however hard they went through that journey and became who they are today. But because they decided to not give in to what had happened to them, they decided to seek value on their own terms of themselves. They decided to put the work in their own self-discovery of their own value of who they are, why they are here, what's their meaningful purpose, because we're all here in service of each other. We're all here with a purpose. And I think they are the, you know, some of the most courageous and inspirational people that we will ever get to meet. But we have to be willing to go through the process. There's no quick, you know, go into the surgery one moment, come out and it's all beautiful. There's always the healing process. There's always something we have to go through. If we're not willing to go through it, how are we going to get to the other side?
Absolutely. And you know, when we go through those trying times, we have to realize they're blessings.
Mm-hmm.
They allow us to appreciate the things on the other side that much more. Now, I wouldn't wish anybody going through the dark days that mm-hmm. I lived through mm-hmm. of being diagnosed with ALS and Lou Gehrig's disease, but it certainly helps me to appreciate
yes.
being on the other side that's much more. And that's what I encourage people to realize. There's a silver cloud in any cloud, a silver lining in any cloud.
Yeah.
So look for that silver lining.
You say that you discovered you had Lyme disease. And if I understand right, that Lyme disease can manifest other disease, did that manifest ALS?
You know, Lyme disease can mimic any disease in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It really can hide, it can escape things. And that's the difficulty in diagnosing it, because it looks like so many other things.
Yeah.
Now, it was diagnosed in me because I found another person that had symptoms very similar to mine, and I was able to follow on their coattails, so mm-hmm. to speak, to get the right diagnosis. And so I think if a person is having a difficult time in life and they think they might have something like I did, I would really encourage them to find a doctor that is aware of this disease and treat them appropriately.
And yeah,
I don't know of people in Britain, so I.
Well, I'm here in Canada, it. So
there is an organization called ILADS, ILADS, that gives a lot of information on that, and I would recommend people to look into that organization because they can help put you on the right foot, so to speak,
right.
in finding more about it.
Yes, and here we have, I'm not quite sure what the name of, I think it's Allergies Be Gone is the person that does it, but it is actually a form of allergy testing where they can actually find out if you do have Lyme's or other things that are in your body that you didn't know that you were actually allergic to, and simply by erasing that, it can change your whole quality of life. But there again, don't just give in to the title of the disease that's been labeled on you. Go and investigate what may be causing it and what you can do to either erase it or minimize it. You know, we have to, in a lot of ways, be our own healers and look for the people that can heal us on many different mediums.
Yeah, for sure. You know, how do you find the right people? Well, unfortunately, there's not a simple answer to that. You need to keep looking and you need to find out. And remember, there's a lot of quacks out there might lead you down the wrong path. So the answer is, with a high degree of circumspection, you go into these situations and look for a proper answer. You know, as I said, as far as Lyme's disease, I think the ILADS Association is a valid, beautiful association that helps people a lot.
Mm. You know, that's one of the reasons I do my shows, because, you know, a lot of the people that are out there who've stepped into a particular healing modality is because they had a problem. And in healing themselves, they have found other ways to help other people. And, you know, one of the reasons I do these shows is you can listen to the people that are being interviewed. You can listen to their story. You can see the work that they're doing. You can hear the testimony of themselves and what they've been done. And it's almost, you know, that quote infomercial that is, they're their own testimony. So if by listening to them, you can then feel, I feel I can trust this person, or I really want to listen. I want to reach out to this person because I've heard their story, or I've heard the way they've done it. And it's not just, you know, that flash on the internet, you know, come and buy from me. So I think if we're willing to listen and we're willing to let us go through the beautiful libraries of podcasts that are out there and listen to the people that have gone through the processes, and we learn from them, it applies to us. And it's up to us to take that action in life and not just sit back, but listen, learn, and apply.
I as well think that is the best approach. You know, there's a lot of information there. You know, I've always said it's easy for me to move forward because I step on the shoulders of giants. And it's true of all these shows. There's a lot of people with a lot of beautiful information.
Yeah.
Please use it in your own way to allow yourself to heal and get to a way that you can be better than where you're at.
And have a fantastic life.
And
you
have
know,
a fantastic life.
It's really your choice. You know, yes, this happened to you. Yes, that happened to you. Who hasn't got a story? I'm 67. Do you think I got to 67 without a whole story of things happening, not happening to me? Lots have happened. But it's what you do with it, right? Yes, you go through kind of the resentment, or you go through the anger, or you go through the pain, but you've got to take yourself through that and get to the other side of that and rise above it so that you can move on into life on your own terms and seek out life. If, you know, if that was a bunch of lemons that we're giving you, well, how much are you going to make lemonade? Make money off the lemonade stand, right? There's your revenge.
Absolutely. So, you know, life will throw lemons at you. Mm-hmm. It's your choice whether you perceive them as lemons or mm-hmm. whether you make lemonade out of them. And that's what you have to really do in your life to make it better than what you are. It's really your obligation to live the best life you can.
I'm glad you used that word, because I'm always talking about it's our responsibility. You know, we've got to own it. It's our lives. We own our lives. We haven't always got the choice of what happened to us, but we do have the choice of what we do with it. And it's our responsibility. And while you're busy pointing a finger at everybody else out there, there's three fingers pointing back at you, saying, well, what are you going to do about it? How are you going to approach this? How are you going to let it affect you? And if you're seeking the revenge, then you're going down that rabbit hole that is going to consume you. Your best revenge in anything is being abundant, being enriched, and being a beautiful, fruitful soul. That's always the best revenge on anything.
Absolutely. You know, you have a choice to live the life you want. Mm-hmm. Remember, it's not what happens to you. Mm-hmm. It's what you do with what happens.
Yes.
And that is the purpose of my book. It's the purpose of my podcast. It's the purpose of my syndicated radio show. Remember, it's not what happens to you. It's what you do with what happens.
Yes. Yes. Is this your first book that you've written, The Secrets, the Secrets to Living a Fantastic Life?
You know, I've been blessed. When I was a cosmetic surgeon, I wrote 17 books as a cosmetic surgeon. And then in 2020, I had three best-selling books that hit the press in that year. One was The Secrets to Living a Fantastic Life. Another one was The Pillars of Success, which I wrote with Jack Canfield, who's famous for Chicken Soup for the Soul.
Yes.
And then there is another one I wrote called Blue, B-L-U, Business Life in the Universe, which I wrote with my good friend Corey Poirier. So I've been blessed with three best-selling books in the year 2020.
Wow. Yes, that's definitely a blessing. But, you know, it's all about timing, isn't it? You know, I find that, you know, you have good intentions. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And then life has interrupters and it pushes you in a different direction. And then you realize that that direction that it's pushed you in was actually the road that you should have gone down in the first place. But sometimes we have to wait for that synchronicity to happen, for the right person to be in the right place at the right time, for the right things to happen.
You know, it's always interesting that way. And, you know, I had the pleasure of this a week of interviewing a person by the name of Mrs. Carlson. Now, her husband, Richard Carlson, was a brilliant author. He had written 10 books in his life. And the last book he wrote was called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, and it's all small stuff.
Yes.
Now, 9 of his books did not hit the mark. The 10th book hit the mark, and it became a bestseller. Unfortunately, he passed away from a pulmonary embolus soon after it was written. Now, Mrs. Carlson has taken over that and written more books in that venue now, and literally has taken it to another level.
Yeah.
So it's important to realize that even though you write, that not one of them could ever make it to the level of success that you wanted to. But the interesting thing is you got to keep writing. And if you keep writing, eventually it gets there. You know, Jack Canfield and Mark Victor Hansen went to hundreds of publishers for Chicken Soup for the Soul, mm-hmm. and was rejected by hundreds of them.
Right. Yes. There was another author, I think is, gosh, I can't remember his name because I'm going back into the 70s, but I know he was rejected 1,700 times or something like that. And then finally.
Well, also the lady who wrote Harry Potter
yes.
was oh, rejected yes. Yes. over and over uh-huh. and over again.
I bet they're kicking themselves now.
And then it became a big success afterwards. So mm-hmm. the thing is, if you have that fire in your belly and want to get your books out there, you have to persevere
yes.
because that's where it comes out. And that's where the true wonder of that book comes out. And, you know, not every book is going to make it,
no.
but the perseverance makes it.
Yes. But that goes with absolutely everything you do in life. I mean, you know, I don't do podcasting for, and I've put this out with people. If you want to be a podcaster, you're not doing it for fame or fortune. You can kick those to the side right away. You're doing it because you truly want to honor people's stories and you really want to represent people in all that they've been through because they're a beacon of light for others. And if you're not doing it for that, then maybe you need to relook at the why you're doing it, because if it's for ego, that ego can only go for so long before people just get bored of it. They want content. They want substance. They want something they can walk away with, something that they can apply to their own lives, something that lifts them up or gives them an encouragement, something that even is an aha moment. That's the reason why they listen. They listen for that maybe one moment or several moments that can have an impact on their lives.
Absolutely. And that one moment is all that's necessary to
yes.
sometimes to put on the light bulb for people to change in their lives. Sometimes it's just that one little incident that makes it happen. And so this is why you do what you do mm-hmm. and I do what I mm-hmm. do, because we're hoping that we'll put that light on in the darkness, that all of a sudden will illuminate the darkness.
Yes. Yeah. That's why I call my shows illumination. And, you know, inspiration does beget invitation. When you're inspired by somebody, it invites you to look at and go, well, what can I do? If it was possible for them, surely something must be possible for me. And that's really what we want. We want these shows to be encouraging. We want these shows to be something that is illuminating, that sheds light on your situation and shows you a path forward to your own possibilities, to your own opportunities.
Absolutely. You know, life is an amazing journey. It mm-hmm. is full of twists and turns. Mm-hmm. It is full of ups and downs. You know, you need to grasp and experience this in all the ways that it is. There will be hardship, there will be heartbreak, there will be difficulties along the way. But at the other side, the beautifulness, the wonderfulness mm. that's there is what you truly have to experience.
You know, and also it's not like the euphoric moment, like when you first fall in love and you're up on cloud nine. You know, it is that deep breath and release, you know, it's that still moment, that calm moment, that yes moment, rather than, you know, when Sally met Harry moment. You know, we want it to be something where you feel so calm and at home and at peace with it. And when you get to that state, then you know you've arrived.
Yes, exactly. That is what I think people should aspire towards. Mm-hmm. And I concur with your thinking on that. I think if people take a moment mm-hmm. and think about things, that is one of the greatest moments that they can have.
Mm-hmm.
That solitude moment
yes.
is a great moment that people should gift themselves with regularly.
Yes. I drive to my daughter every week who has I have a 15-month-old grandson. So I go down 2 days a week to look after him. And I live on Vancouver Island, British Columbia, and it's a beautiful drive. We go over the Malahat. We have all the trees and then there's all the ocean and the lakes and everything else along the way. And I don't have the radio on. I don't have anything. I just let the atmosphere speak to me and it always uplifts me. It always makes me feel comforted. And I think it's like Nature has so many wonderful things to give us. And if we could just, you know, take off the earbuds and stop being in such a hurry and just get in amongst nature, the rustle of the trees, they're busy speaking to you, the breeze through your hair, clearing away the cobwebs, the water on your feet, washing away the woes. Be immersed in nature because it is such a healing, nurturing, and connecting vibration that nature can give us. Same with animals and children.
I agree with all that. You know, a walk in nature is such a beautiful thing, and you should take the advantage of doing it when you can, because that is a beautiful way to cleanse your soul and to get back in balance with the forces of the world.
You're going to feel angst, you're going to feel anxious, you're going to feel whatever, because that's life. And this is your, where, you know, sometimes the repression and the atmospheric is there. And when you notice you are there, what are you going to do to make sure you can remove it and put yourself into a more clearer, positive mindset? And sometimes that means you've got to walk out of a meeting or walk out of work or walk out of a situation or an argument or a conversation and say, I need to take five, I need to take a breath and go and collect yourself so that you can come back more on an equilibrium. Because if you stay in that environment, you're going to get swallowed up by that environment.
Absolutely. I think that's what's very important. And you know, if you can't control it, if you can control the environment, then maybe you shouldn't go into that meeting to begin with. And maybe you can put the brakes on that situation even before it occurs. Or if it does occur, the answer is maybe you can take a minute and do some breathing. You know, there's a beautiful way to do square breathing where you breathe into the count of four, you hold it to the count of four, and then you breathe out to the count of four. That immediately reestablishes your equilibrium and allows you to take control of the situation without having to be in any dour situation as a result.
I like to do that if I'm doing a presentation or if I'm in a meeting. Everybody's coming in with, you know, some sort of chatter from before. And I like everybody to take three very deep breaths and just rest in that last exhale, because I find it clears everything and puts everybody on that same vibration, on that same frequency. And now we are ready to address without all the other stuff there. We don't actually look at breathing as the real brilliant tool that it is. But without breath, where are we?
I don't think we'd be anywhere. The breath is the number one thing that keeps us going.
Yes.
If we don't breathe for 3 minutes, we're technically dead.
Yes. Yeah, I'm an asthmatic, have been since the age of two. Believe me, I appreciate breath. But it is also that beautiful pause that breath can give us. You know, you're about to react. Take a breath. Just slow down for a moment before you react. Don't be reactionary. Maybe respond in a way that is more collective rather than reaction, which we know is going to be explosive.
Exactly. You know, I think it's, you know, if you're in a situation that you're angry, it's quite often best to back off.
Yes.
Don't blow up and just let the situation be controlled. And, you know, if you're mad at a person, and you write a letter, but don't send them that letter.
Yeah.
Let it sit for 3 days.
Yes. That is actually something I always say to people. And also something I used to say with my husband. He can't hear me, but I used to write. And the first draft is getting all your angst out. And then you've said it, you've spent it. And then your second draft is getting to the point of what you want them to hear. Mm-hmm. And that is, then you can send that without any of the animosity in there. And again, this is another big word that we don't give ourselves is time. Time to sort it out. Time to take the pause. Time to take the breath. Time to take all the beauty and everything that is around us to be grateful for. We've put our foot to the pedal. And we're on this destination road and we've forgotten life is about the journey. Take your time.
Yeah, take your time. It's not a race. Mm-mm. It's more of a marathon. So yeah. Make sure you realize that along the way, it's good to smell the roses along yes. that marathon rather than just try to win it in this headlong thing. You know, it's called breakneck speed for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you know, the people reach that destination. I don't know how many people I've interviewed that have been big CEOs, had their own company, you know, had everything, you know, the fast car, the big house, all the money. And they said, I'm a slave to it. I have no time for me. I have no time for my family. I'm utterly miserable, but I shouldn't be because I reached the goal that everybody told me would make me happy.
Absolutely. And you know, I've talked to a lot of people that have gone through burnout. And
yes.
They kept on going until they literally hit the wall.
Yeah.
And the problem with burnout is it's so insidious how yes. it comes on. It keeps on building and building and building until it's there. And then you can't function any longer with what you were able to do. And so that is a nasty thing that can happen in people's lives.
Yeah. I call that the cosmic 2x4. You're not paying attention to the signs along the way. Whackaroo, do you hear me now? It's time to redirect. And you, that will hit in the form of a heart attack or losing everything or divorce. You know, just all sorts of things manifest at that time. All these things could be prevented if you had just slowed down and paid attention. But if you have there and you have crashed, don't get up and put your foot to the pedal again. Pay attention to those signs and what, you know, be more in tuned as to which direction to go into now.
Absolutely. You know, as I said, life is that amazing journey. Enjoy it along the way.
Yeah.
It's going to have the ups and downs. It's going to have the problems. But it's the problems that help us experience the good times and allow us to experience the good times that much more.
Yes. I'm in the process of writing my own memoir, which people have asked me for. And it's difficult because I've done a great deal of self-healing. And so I can look back on things that have happened to me, but I no longer have any of the emotions to do with it. And it's like it's reluctance even to go back and revisit it. So I'm finding it kind of difficult to do. And I think it's that sometimes we, you know, I've done shows on this. I do my own show every week as well, is sometimes it's good to look back. And you look back at the struggles and the difficulties or the choices that you've made. And then you realize that had you made a different choice, or look how far you really have come. Look at where you were in such anguish or such pain, and look where you are now. And sometimes it's good to look back to see where we are. And then I think it can really propel us forward in knowing how far we've come.
Yes, it's absolutely true. Remember, you've been through a lot. You've been through a lot of problems and hardships mm-hmm. and so on. And you've healed through those. And
yes.
The emotions aren't there. But if you looked, you could certainly find the raw emotions there, and it might aggravate the wound again.
Yes, it might. And that's okay, because I think this is something that, you know, when people, this came up again. Does this mean I'm going back there? No, it's just like the pain that's still in your cellular tissue that hasn't been released yet. Just acknowledge it and release it. It doesn't mean you've gone back to that space.
Absolutely. So the good news is you're beyond that. The good yeah. news is you've moved on from those shores. Your ship has sailed, so mm-hmm. to speak, and now you can deal with them in different ways. And
yeah.
now you can deal with other things and deal with it on a better basis. So, you know, as I've said with people that are grieving someone that had a loved one, they will move on from that eventually.
Yeah.
And their soul will be healed. They'll never forget, and they will still have activating points along the way
yeah.
that will do that. But the thing is, you will still move forward, and now you'll be able to function, whereas in that acute grieving phase, you weren't able to do that.
No, it's a different form of grieving, isn't it? It's not so crippling. Mm-hmm. It's just a kind of a reminder. But that's, again, when you go to the appreciation of the time you did have, And that time may not be there. We're not promised forever. We're never promised forever. But we have to look at the time we do have with ourselves and with our loved ones, with people that mean something in our lives. We have to look at those golden nuggets. And they may not be there anymore. They're beautiful jewels that you can look at any time. And it can bring a smile to your heart and your soul and your spirit. And in that smile, heart, and spirit, they're egging you on to go and live that fantastic life.
You know, and in my book, we cover 13 golden pearls. Mm-hmm. And I refer to them as pearls rather than nuggets, because mm-hmm. nugget sounds too much like McDonald's. And yeah. You know, it's nice to think of them as pearls, because pearls are beautiful in
nature.
They're
beautiful, yes.
And they're beautiful because trauma induces a thing inside of an oyster, which mm-hmm. doesn't destroy the oyster. Mm-hmm. It literally walls it off. And golden pearls actually exist in the South Pacific. Mm. And they are so rare that a solitary golden, beautiful pearl can cost upwards of $10,000.
Wow.
Now, the golden pearls that I and my co-author found are found in each and every one of us. Mm-hmm. And they're even more valuable than those $10,000 yes. pearls found in the South Pacific. So I think that is something people should look at if they want a starting point. Our book, my book is, as I say, humbly, just an offering to people to help get them back on the right track.
Mm. And that's what we need the help with sometimes. You know, the thing, acknowledge you're stuck. Acknowledge that you're in kind of some sort of pain. Acknowledge that you don't want to be here anymore. The next question is, well, how do I move forward? And this is where we come in. This is why we do what we do. We're presenting the people and the books and everything else that can help you on your journey of how. Now, it's not paint by numbers. It again goes back to that inspiration where you read the book and there's something in the book. Ah, I can do that. That makes sense to me. I can apply that. And yes. It might be just one chapter or one line, or it might be the whole book. But the whole thing is you're giving a how to someone who's decided that they need to move forward, but they just don't know how.
Yeah, as I say, these are my offerings to people, my thoughts on people. So if they want to move forward, there's a way to do it this way.
Yes.
There's a way to help them along the way. And I think that is a beautiful place to be. It all starts with a decision. And only your listeners can start with that decision.
Yeah, exactly. Your choice. It's your choice. Yeah, when you're ready, they always say, when you're ready, the teacher appears, right? When you're ready, you're listening to the show. When you're ready to get the book. You're ready yeah. to not only read the book, but to truly read the book. And then those certain things in the book that give you that how. I can do that. When you start hearing the dialogue in your ears, in your heart, in your soul, I can do that. That's when you start stepping into action, because that is your blueprint for your how.
Yes, for sure. And I think that's the whole thing about this. That's the whole thing with trying to move this forward, is you have to decide. You're the people that have to decide to do it. And once that decision's made, mm-hmm. then you just need to find the tools to help you along the way. And you know, 3 baby steps a day will take yes. you towards your goal.
Yes. Oh, yeah. The decision to make a step. You know, I would say the biggest leap you're going to take is your first step.
Yeah. You know, the Chinese proverb is that a journey of 10,000 miles starts with one single step. That's exactly. all it takes.
And you find, you know, one step leads to another, and then a confident stride. You don't want to get into a run, you know, because then you may be missing things along the way, but you can pick up the pace because you're feeling more confident, because you've applied the hows, and it's given you those abilities to see other signs along the way, but keep paying attention.
Absolutely. I think, you know, it's as I said, it was an interesting journey. I think it is an interesting journey. And you have to be responsible. You have to be in the driver's seat of it.
Yes. Yes. You don't need permission from anyone else. The only permission you need to give is to yourself. I am ready. I am worthy. There is more to me. There's more to my life than this. And I want to know how to move on. That's the only permission that you need to give. Nobody else can demand it from you or give you permission to do it. It's your choice for your life.
Absolutely. I think that is what everybody has to decide to do. But, you know, I think there's more of our listeners out there that are ready to make yes. that decision, that are making that decision every day. And they just need a little bit of help along the way. They right. just need a little bit of help from you and from me to make that happen.
You know, I consider myself supporting the supporters. And everybody needs support along the line. And it is, there's no shame in needing support. There's no shame in leaning against someone and saying, just like, help me stand. But, you know, making the effort to stand on your own 2 feet and saying to yourself, I don't want to stay where I am. I do want to move forward. And then doing your due diligence of taking the journey, listening to podcasts, reading books, taking the time out from everybody else's demands of you and placing that time upon yourself in your own journey and your own recovery. That is not being selfish. That is an absolute necessity to you surviving life.
For sure. Very well said. Very well said. I'm agreeing with you there.
Now, having said that, how do people find the book and how do they find your other books?
You know, the best place to find anything of this is on my website, dralenleika.com.
That's can you spell the Leika? Yeah.
Yeah, Drallen Leika, LYCKA.com. That's where people can find out things about me and know everything about me there. And if they'd like to know more and get more, they can order a copy from my book, or they can get it right there, or they can get it on Amazon.com or Amazon.ca. That's probably the best place, because that way they can get it around the world. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's printed in your own neighborhood and gets mm-hmm. delivered right there. The other thing is, if they'd like to have a free 15-minute discovery call with me, I'd love to offer that with them. It's called Coaching with Dr. Leika. That's DrLyCKA.com. Coaching with DrLyka.com. And we will gladly put that 15 minutes aside for you and help you get organized.
Excellent. And your podcast?
My podcast is called How to Live a Fantastic Life. It's on a network called AMFM 24/7. And we have 12 shows a week, so people can catch it there.
12 shows a week. How long are your shows?
You know, they're about half an hour in length, so we have a very busy time keeping mm-hmm. these all up there.
Yes, definitely. I can hear you. That means that they can tune in anytime. And you know, this is the reason why I do podcasts is that there's so much beautiful wisdom out there. Now, there's a lot of knowledge in the world, but I think one of the problems with a lot of knowledge, people don't know how to access it to its best ability. If you are listening to the people that have gained wisdom through life's experience, they all know how to extract the right knowledge that will apply to your situation. And it's the wise knowledge that we want to give you to apply to yourself so that it is more relevant to your own healing.
Absolutely. You know, and I've been here, as I say, since I've retired, I find it's my job to connect the dots for mm-hmm. people and help people get to a situation where those dots are now helping other people out.
Right, exactly. And I know that you're on some social medias. You're on Twitter, you're on Instagram, you have YouTube videos, you're on LinkedIn, you're on Facebook, so they can find you all there as well.
Yes, for sure.
And all of your podcasts, if they miss one, they can catch up on them.
They're all archived there. And I also have over 100 on my website as well.
Wonderful. Fantastic. You know, I love the, you know, people who have, quote, retired. You know, all you've done is retire to your day job, and now you've stepped into your true passion. And it's there's something about falling into doing something that really comes from the heart and the soul that gives us a rejuvenation of life, a different meaningful purpose in life that really is so utterly rewarding. And I think another thing people need to look at, it's never too late. You're never too old. There is always something that you can start at any age. I started this at 57, and it's, you know, as I said, my 91-year-old with her own TV show, and she'd recently taken a new lover. It's never too late. So, you know, the thing is, it's all about that attitude of life. You know, what are you willing to give life so you can get from life?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I think people need to seize the day and enjoy that life, and they need to make that life what they want it to be.
Yeah, exactly. Your choice, folks. So choose positive living. It's really the only way to live. Then you can have a fantastic life. And we're not guaranteed a fantastic life. It's not your right to have a fantastic life. You give me a fantastic life or else. It is what you contribute, what you participate in, what you stand for that will give you that fantastic life. So remember, it all falls on you, but we're here to support you in your decision-making and in your journey of life.
Exactly. It's well said. I couldn't have said it better.
Thank you so much for being here today. I've really enjoyed the conversation for the work that you're doing.
Thank you for having me. It truly was my pleasure for being here. And to your listeners, I'd like to say, please let us help you along the way. You'll find that it's going to be a magic journey. Just ask for some help.
Yes. Yes, please. Please. We all need that along the way. And when you start taking that journey one foot in front of the other and you get into the rhythm of life, and we start seeing you be so joyful and abundant, you're an inspiration for someone else. And that's what begets the beautiful joy of life that actually becomes the healing of this planet and everybody in it. So remember, you owe it to yourself, but you owe it to everyone else as well. So thank you, Alan, and to everyone else. Until next time, bye for now. We hope that you enjoyed the show. Find all of our shows on selfdiscoverymedia.com under podcasts or selfdiscoverymedia/shows. And for all our current shows, go to What's New. We are supported by you, the audience. You'll see a nice big shiny blue button for one-time donations or follow us on Patreon, and you will be able to support us there. We enjoy bringing you such wisdom. And the next show will be up in just a moment.